Hello, everybody, and welcome to the very first episode of the Put It on the Internet podcast. I am one of your co-hosts and co-pilots, Travis Yates.
Hi, I'm Mike Provine.
Hey, I'm Bryce Gilbert.
All right, we are Travis, Mike, and Bryce, and we are here to put it on the internet for you.
Put it on the internet.
And let's just jump right into it with the genesis of how Put It on the Internet podcast came to life, shall we?
So what are the things we love and hate the most?
Well, let's go back first, shall we, to the name Put It on the Internet.
Oh.
And
talk about the genesis.
The genesis of how the name came to be even is a story within itself. And I'm still hoping to have the audio proof of this down the road. But for now, all we have is the story because it has been lost in a sea of VHS tapes somewhere in...
You've got to fill me in here.
All right. So this is bachelor party for myself, the professor, Travis the professor, circa 2003. And the night starts out with... and Mike was there. We have all these grand plans to bar hop all over town and then go to the boat later in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we started the evening at 6:30, 7 o'clock.
I don't remember.
Yeah. I think we started about 6:30, 7 o'clock. By 9 o'clock, I'm done.
It escalated quickly.
It escalated very quickly.
It did.
Shots were had, and I'm not a shot taker.
Hey, it's better than shots being fired.
Yes. I felt like shots were fired later on. But so we end up back at a buddy's house who was kind of hosting a lot of the wedding party. And I'm he lived in an apartment where...
Can we say who it is? Or are we protecting the innocent?
We're protecting the names of the innocent. I don't think Chris Kelly would mind here because he's not guilty in any way in this story. But it was Chris Kelly, talented filmmaker, who, by the way, he's shooting his second feature film now. But Hampshire, A Ghost Story is available on Netflix.
Plugs!
So a pre-plug here to one of our ending segments. Check that out, Hampshire, A Ghost Story. Very talented filmmaker. So Chris lives in an apartment above a guy who he has this bench in the yard in this apartment. And he says when Chris moves in, he tells Chris, I don't have many rules. Just don't touch my bench.
Don't touch my bench.
Literally, that's how he said it.
Don't touch the bench.
He was very adamant about not touching the bench.
This is my first time hearing this.
Oh, so...
Make sure you see it.
I was obsessed with the bench always because I just couldn't figure out why this guy was, I mean, who says that? Who does that? So we couldn't quite figure it out. So I never really, I always wanted to go fiddle with the bench and maybe fondle the bench a little bit. But I never did until the night of my bachelor party and they bring me back. And at this point, everything is just, I don't know what's going on. I'm done Woody here. So I see the bench. I'm out on the back porch, and he's upstairs. His apartment was upstairs. I'm on this back porch, and I look down, and I see the bench. And they thought it would be funny at some point to bring the video camera out to just tape me in this state of confusion. And you see my eyes. You see the moment it happens in my eyes, and I say,
"You're locking in."
Bench. I take off. Make a beeline down the stairs. The camera pans over to me, and I'm like almost stumbling down the stairs. And then I jump on the bench, and I'm trying to hump the bench.
Can I ask you a very important question before you go any further?
Sure.
Can we use profanity in this podcast? That's very important to the story and to the future.
There is two levels of podcasts on iTunes. There's the clean and there's the explicit. So really, I guess it makes sense in episode one to decide, do you want to fall under the clean or the explicit? Now, I am a professor. That's why I'm a professor.
Gosh, that's right.
But
somebody please save the children.
Save the children. Please save the children. I think brief when necessary,
it's
like
gonna
you
slip
said,
out.
Right.
Is okay. Yeah. I think that it's a part
of
life.
It's not going to be appropriate to drop potty bombs every 5 seconds. It's going to get old fast if you do that.
Definitely.
Too.
Definitely.
I'm not a sailor, but man.
Okay.
When appropriate.
So
I
think that's a fair rule. And, you know, children, it's just like listening to your parents cuss. So just, you know.
See how much I cuss around my kids. Oh, my God. Okay. Bad example for me, though.
Children of Mike.
Rosie.
Okay. So I see the bench. I'm down on the bench. And I was, for some reason, I wanted to hump the bench. Well, two things happened when I tried to hump the bench. One, I'm so done at this point that all was happening was my back left leg was just kind of kicking up in the air as I'm hovering over this bench. That's it. I'm trying to do the old Adam Sandler, you know, bit, but I'm just, my leg is just going up and down. It's ridiculous. And I'm saying, I'm humping your man, old bench. I'm transposing the man and the bench in the story, and it's coming out as I'm humping your man.
Oh, you did say humping. I thought it was the...
Oh, no. I said I'm humping your man, old bench.
Effing your man.
So they finally get me upstairs. Big Mark, Chris's cousin, finally comes, hoists me over his shoulder like a sack of potatoes, brings me upstairs. There's an outside little area.
Very important to note at this point that you're not fully clothed.
Oh, that's right. I started stripping down as I was heading towards the bench.
So you're completely...
So I'm down to my skivvies.
Yeah.
Down to my skivvies. And
what color were your skivvies?
These skivvies used to be red.
Used to be red.
When purchased. But after several washes, you know, some bleach gets into the wash, they were a fair shade of pink at this point. So I have pink underwear on. And no clothes.
Yeah,
and
you
I'm
did.
And so they finally get me back inside and they toss me down on this futon that's on Chris's porch. And I don't even know yet that there's a camera. And this is the first time that I see there's a camera. And so I say, which we'll get the audio. I will find it, and we'll hear it. Listeners have put it on the internet podcast. But for now, you'll just have to go with a sad recreation, which is kind of sad because my voice right now is at 50%. I only half apologize for getting over laryngitis, but I refuse at 35 years old now to fully apologize for anything. So I half apologize for the voice. But I look up at the camera, and I say, oh, Mike does it best.
Oh, that's just great. That's great. Do I
put it on the internet?
Put it on the internet.
Put
it on the internet.
Put it
You're
on
like
the
pointing
internet.
At your nipple at this point.
Yeah, and then I kind of start slapping my derriere, you know, to
that's
make it worse.
Just
like,
great.
If you're going to put it on the internet, let's put something on the internet here. So that's.
Oh,
I love it.
That's great.
It's pretty epic. And so put it on the internet. And it's just, it's over time, it's built up and up. And so when,
anytime
when,
we do something ridiculous. Oh, great. Why don't you just put it on the internet?
Put it on the internet. Put it on the internet. So that's where the name came about. Podcasts.
You have to put them
on the internet. And I just realized how awesome podcasts were. And, you know, I don't expect people to download the Put It on the Internet podcast and listen to it while they're sitting at home or while they're driving to work if they have a short drive. The beauty of podcasts, I realized, and it started with Mike sending me a list of podcasts that he listens to and said, these are great, download them, check them out. And I just never really had the time. Well, I had some trips to St. Louis to make, and so I downloaded the Scarboro Country podcast, a couple of them. And I popped one in on my way. Well, I don't pop anything in anymore, but I put it on my MP3 player. And the next thing I knew, I'm in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm. That's how it works.
And I realized these things are a beauty.
Makes
so
bodies.
My plug for the Put It on the Internet podcast is find something to do. Since I discovered the Scarboro Country podcast, I have become so productive around the house. Because I'm looking for things to do.
You're getting things done.
Because I want that hour and a half to just go disappear and listen to a podcast. Mm-hmm. So that's the genesis of the Put It on the Internet podcast. And so I contacted both Mike and Bryce and said, we got to do a podcast, which segues into...
Well, it's what... This is the confusing part. Not having heard this story before, I prefaced where we got Put It on the Internet from the one thing that I just said earlier that I love and hate, and that's our conversations on Facebook. We see a lot of things happening on Facebook. It's a great way to communicate with friends. But it's also become this way where, I don't know, where people turn Facebook into old chainmail. Remember the emails that you used to get where Bill Gates is going to give you $117,000 if you forward this email on to 33 people? It really happens.
Does that not work? Because I'm waiting for my check, but I'm fully expecting
it. Yeah, exactly, exactly. Well, there's all this chainmail, things that people repost if you agree. And it's really taken away from the really nice communication to see, hey, Travis, what's going on in your life? That's what I thought Facebook was there for.
Right.
Not for this venting and I don't know, just trying to make a point that someone else made, and it just gets rehashed over and over. And when you see a group of friends that post that same exact statement, it really waters it down and makes me hate Facebook.
I think one of the things that Facebook does, and again, great, there's a lot of great things coming out on Facebook. Great way to reconnect. I talk to my students and I say to them, you will never, if you choose not to, lose touch with your high school friends.
Yeah.
Whereas for the experience that we have in our mid-30s is we're reconnecting with those friends.
Absolutely.
And mm-hmm. thanks to Facebook, now they'll never even know what they won't have to reconnect because they'll always be friends with them, at least through Facebook.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's taking away from actual good in the world because people think that if they post something on Facebook, that's the that's their cause and that's the good that they're doing. I'm going to leave this light on for Kaylee and and I feel good about myself.
Who's Kaylee?
Yeah, the only thing that I could think of that came out of that whole let's leave a front porch light on for Kaylee because she didn't get any justice. That would be awesome. I mean, perfect marketing if the very first person to post that and start this campaign worked for a utility company.
Please leave the light on.
Yeah, we'll leave the light on, and I will get that bonus at the end of the month.
That's right. Feed my family. Yeah, leave the light on for my family, the utility worker.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, you know, we'd go back and forth on our favorite Facebook posts, and we'd share some of these. So, Bryce, I think, remind me, you actually came up with this find, if I'm correct, the supermarket story.
Yeah,
Am I right on that? The supermarket story, Mike. Do you remember this?
I'm pretty sure I'm the one that found it.
Have you heard of this? If you would allow me to do this now, and I'm going to go into a very special place because this is a very, very deep, intense story that it requires your full attention. Okay. I'm not sure who actually wrote this. Do we know who the author of this is?
No.
This is one of those things that somehow made it. So by the time it's posted on Facebook and it starts out, I was walking around, you don't know who I am. You assume it's the person who posted it, right?
Right. Until you get to the bottom where you see the repost if you agree.
Right. Thanks for the spoiler,
yeah.
Brett. Here we go. So, but this was circulating on Facebook just recently, and this is a great find by Bryce, Bryce the producer. So here we go. I was walking around in a supermarket when I saw a cashier hand this little boy his money back. The boy couldn't have been more than 5 or 6 years old. The cashier said, "I'm sorry, but you don't have enough money to buy this doll." The little boy turned to the old woman next to him. Way to, point, old woman next to him, put it on the internet. "Granny, Are you sure I don't have enough money? She replied. You know that you don't have enough money to buy this doll, my dear. Then she asked him to stay there for just about 5 minutes while she went to look around. Okay, first of all,
you're leaving.
You left.
You just abandoned a child.
Is this kid by himself?
5 or 6 years old.
A 5 year old in a store by himself.
Well, entrusting now the cashier.
Yeah.
Who's making minimum wage, and, you know, that's a trustworthy person, you know, so. Yes. Yeah.
And how did the kid get there? I mean, I guess we
the grandma and the kid just walked up
irrelevant
to the cashier.
Right.
So right away, I'm thinking this is a story about a bad grandma. You know, because shame on you for leaving, abandoning your child in a supermarket alone
at the cash register
at 5 years old at the entrance where you could easily just snag him. Okay, so okay, that's going on. All right, so grandma leaves. She left quickly, it says. The little boy was still holding the wait, now it's a boy? It was a girl earlier, wasn't it?
Are you serious?
No, it's a boy.
Okay.
Yeah, I okay. can assure you,
all
it's
right.
a boy.
Okay, the little boy was still holding the doll in his hand. Okay, painting a pretty sad picture here. Finally, I walked toward him, and I asked him who he wished to give this doll to. It's the doll that my sister loved the most and wanted so much for Christmas. She was sure that Santa Claus would bring it to her. I replied to him that maybe Santa Claus would bring it to her after all, and not to worry. But he replied to me sadly, no, Santa Claus can't bring it to her where she is now. I have to give the doll to Mommy so that she can give it to my sister when she goes there. His eyes were sad when saying this. My sister has gone to be with God. Daddy says that Mommy is going to see God very soon, too. So I thought that she could take the doll with her and give it to my sister. My heart nearly stopped. The boy looked up at me and said, I told Daddy to tell Mommy not to go yet. Oh, if there's a lot of he said, she said going on
is
here.
Is the mom terminally
all,
ill
right?
or going to be beat to death?
We're getting there.
Okay.
Judging by the actions of the grandma, right now my money lies with beat to death.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's just.
You're going to be joining that daughter soon.
That's right. Okay. Then he showed me a very nice photo of himself. He was laughing. He then told me, I want Mommy to take my picture with her so she won't forget me. I love my Mommy, and I wish she didn't have to leave me, but Daddy says that she has to go to be with my little sister. A little bit repetitive, kid. Let's move it along. Then he looked again with the doll with sad eyes very quietly. He looked very quietly? Who wrote this? I mean, how do you look quietly? I'm not sure. Okay, so moving on. I quickly reached for my wallet and said to the boy, suppose we check again, just in case you do have enough money for the doll. Okay, now he's taking money from strange people in line at the grocery store. This is a terrible story. Okay, he said, I hope I have enough. I added some of my money to his without him seeing, and we started to count it. There was enough for the doll and even some spare money. The little boy said, thank you, God, for giving me enough money. Then he looked at me and added, I asked that last night, before I went to sleep, for God to make sure I had enough money to buy this doll so that Mommy could give it again. Okay, we know what's going on here. All right. A few minutes later, the old lady returned, finally, and I left with my basket. I finished my shopping in a totally different state of mind from when I started. I couldn't get the little boy out of my mind. Then I remembered a local newspaper article 2 days ago which mentioned a drunk man in a truck who hit a car occupied by a young woman and a little girl. The little girl died right away, and the mother was left in critical state. The family had to decide whether to pull the plug on the life-sustaining machine because the young woman would not be able to recover from the coma. I wonder if she was an organ donor. That was my little ad in there, because I wonder if she was an organ donor. Because that's really what this whole story should be about, was
yeah,
she
right,
was an organ donor.
Be, but it's not.
Everybody sign your license, sign up online, but okay. Was this the family of the little boy? 2 days after this encounter with the little boy, I read in the newspaper that the young woman had passed away. I couldn't stop myself as I bought a bunch of white roses and I went to the funeral home where the body of the young woman was for people to see and make last wishes for her burial. She was there in her coffin holding a beautiful white rose in her hand with the photo of the little boy and the doll placed over her chest. I left the place teary-eyed, feeling that my life had been changed forever. The love that little boy had for his mother and sister is still, to this day, hard to imagine. I'm not sure why, because all little boys love their mothers and love their sisters for the most part. And in a fraction of a second, a drunk driver had taken all this away from him. This is all about drunk driving? This is not about bad grandmaing or
this is not about
taking money
from not about a kid being left behind at a store. I mean, there's no adult supervision here at all.
Right. But that's besides the point. It's about drunk driving. Now, I tell you this. You have two choices, my friend. You either copy and paste this on your wall or ignore it as if it never touched your heart.
Man.
Ignore.
Yeah. Sorry.
My other complaint with this is that's it. You get two options on these things, you know? Or option three, you feel like an a-hole for not posting it. You know?
Yeah.
It's like, what?
Yeah.
That's it? I get three, you know? What if it touched my heart, but I don't want to put a 1,000-word essay on my Facebook page? Is that okay?
You know, the first time that I read this, I would have, I mean, at some point, maybe tried to give that friend, that Facebook friend of mine, the benefit of the doubt as if they were the ones actually telling the story. And I read through it all the way to all the way to the end where I see the, now you have two choices, copy and paste this on your wall. Oh, so you mean to tell me that you copied this from somebody else? This is somebody else's story? And it's not very believable at that. Who drops their kid off at a 5-year or who drops a 5-year-old off at a store?
5-year-olds, dude.
That's
really
five.
Young.
Yeah, that's what I can't get over.
Five.
That was a Lebowski reference.
Yes, of course.
But yeah, 5 years old.
Yeah. So I'm sure we've all encountered this. And again, I know that the purpose is for good, but. Really, do us all a favor, everybody. Stop, think. You know, it's like stop, look, and listen. Look both ways before crossing the street. And, you know, think about what you're posting on Facebook.
Don't just put it on the internet.
Don't just put it on the internet.
Right. Now, Mike, didn't you have a story as well?
Oh, yeah, yeah. This is a good one. This is a good one. And it's as soon as, I don't know, I should just read it and then comment. Sound good? Where am I at here?
Sure.
All right. All right, I got to find, see, I'm holding up the works here because I can't figure out where this story is. Oh, yeah, that's my ranting. Okay, so this starts out like this. Doctor, I have a serious problem. I desperately need your help. My baby is not even a year old, and I'm pregnant again. I don't want kids so close together. So the doctor said, okay, what do you want me to do? She said, I want you to end my pregnancy. And I'm counting on your help with this. Is this in an abortion clinic or just like a regular doctor?
I don't know.
Anyway, the doctor thought for a little while, and after some silence, he said to the lady, I think I have a better solution for your problem, and it's a little less dangerous for you, too. She smiled, thinking that the doctor was going to accept her request. Then he continued, you see, in order for you to not have to take care of two babies at the same time, let's kill the one in your arms. That way, you could rest some before the other one is born. If we're going to kill one of them, it doesn't matter which one it is, there should be no risk for your body if you choose the one in your arms. And the lady was horrified and said, no, doctor, how terrible! It's a crime to kill a child! I agree, the doctor replied. But you seem to be okay with it, so I thought maybe that was the best solution. And the doctor smiled, realizing that he made his point. He convinced the mom that there is no difference in killing a child that's already been born and the one that's still in the womb. The crime is the same. If you agree, please share. Together we can help save precious lives. Love says, I sacrifice myself for the good of the other person. Abortion says, I sacrificed the other person for the good of myself. Now, wait a minute. What kind of doctor is going to say that?
What kind of doctor is going to retain his license?
I bet this doctor works in Salem on Days of Our Lives. Because this sounds like bad soap opera writing.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Or good Conan O'Brien writing. Depending.
Let's just
like a
kill
Conan
the one
skit.
In your arms.
Yeah.
It's bullshit.
I agree. Who writes... Who if you try to picture...
Never happen. Here, fist on the... Never happen.
Never happen.
Never happen.
And again, It sounds like, you know, these stories are, they get told in first person. And you're like, oh, did this really happen?
I don't even think like a good Baptist doctor in the South would suggest that.
I agree.
To one of his,
I agree. But can you imagine what would happen if the lady was like, okay, let's to just take this one. Because, you know, I could use a new one anyway, you know?
Yeah.
It's like trading in an old model for a new one.
Yeah, yeah. Now, real quickly, the one story that I wanted to share, you know, it's not as much of a fake story as these two that you guys have just repeated are. It's supposed to be a joke, but it's supposed to be a jab at the same time. Here goes. An atheist was seated next to a little girl on an airplane, and he turned to her and said, "Do you want to talk?" First off, if I'm a grown adult and I'm talking to a little child here, don't you think the mother is going to get a little creeped out?
What is the deal with it's the children and the
always
adults here?
Always exploiting the children.
Yeah, always.
Five-year-olds.
Yeah. Five-year-olds.
Well, the five-year-old don't care. They're in kindergarten.
Okay, well, the atheist says, flights go quicker if you strike up a conversation with a fellow passenger. This little girl, who had just started to read her book, replied to the total stranger, "What would you want to talk about?" "Oh, I don't know," said the atheist. "How about why there is no God?" As he smiled smugly. "Okay," she said. "Those could be interesting topics, but let me ask you a question first. A horse, a cow, and a deer all eat the same stuff, grass. Yet a deer excretes little pellets, while a cow turns a flat patty, but a horse produces clumps. Why do you suppose that is?" The atheist, visibly surprised by the little girl's intelligence, thinks about it and says, "I have no idea." To which the little girl replies, "Do you really feel qualified to discuss why there is no God when you don't know crap?" And then she went back to reading her book. Here's the issue. This could go either way. The kid could be an atheist, and the grown adult here that's talking to the little girl could be a very spiritual, very religious person, and it could easily be spun the other way. Of course, you're not it's not likely that you're going to find a child who is an atheist,
right?
But there are so many different things that you could replace the word atheist and replace the word believer and
Muslim.
Yeah, sure.
But they're on a plane, so they can't.
Yeah,
yeah.
Do that.
Good point.
Yeah, atheists are evil. Right. Oh, atheists start stuff with little kids. What?
Right. So maybe the grandma that left her kid was an atheist grandma who left her five-year-old because who else would leave? No God-fearing person would leave a five-year-old. I hate to keep going back to that, but you wait here for 5 minutes. Was she trying to keep her place in line?
I don't know. Was it really busy?
Why would she just not take the five-year-old back into the store with her?
And lose your place in line.
Lose your place in line.
Yeah.
That's
right.
All right, good call. It's good to know when my kid is five, I always have a good place in line. I'll just walk right into the store, put him in line, then do all my shopping, and come back.
Mm-hmm.
And hell, maybe I'll make some money off it, because apparently people stand in line and give you money.
Apparently.
So there you go. All right, so people, be careful what you put on Facebook, and just think about it. And be clear. Don't have some ambiguous story about if you're... and for God's sake, stop with the semis, okay? You know who you
are.
The
truck is rolling.
The truck is rolling for whatever.
Who's the truck rolling for this week?
Well, a couple weeks ago, it was fires in Texas victims. Prayers coming your way.
Coming your way with a digital...
So shipping truck. Shipping a truck prayers.
Right, because these people put...
Yeah.
Food and clothing that these people didn't.
Rolling.
No, it's just
ones and zeros. It's just a semi.
it's just ones and zeros. It's like the Sesame Street truck. The truck gets there, it opens up, and it's just a bunch of ones and zeros.
Binary
code.
It's the Matrix. Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Great. Well, maybe every week the Put It on the Internet podcast will be sponsored by a semi rolling down somewhere supporting something. And this week it's the fire victims. And now these are all very old as well. But there you go. So stop with the semis. Just stop. Okay. All right. Now let's stop picking on people on Facebook and let's start picking on people in the media because it's time for a little bad media. Bad media.
Bad media.
Okay. So my nomination this week for bad media in episode one, and I'm very, very happy that you guys let me take the reins on the bad media example. This is a radio commercial for Rosetta Stone, which is, of course, the language learning software. And, you know, that's great. I'm all for being bilingual. I'm all for being bi anything.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Hey. But this commercial just rubs me the wrong way. And I think you guys are familiar with it, but let's take a listen just so everybody knows exactly what we're
talking
about.
Pretty sure I know what you're talking about here.
And then so we'll take a listen here, and then we'll come back and discuss.
Thank you for calling Rosetta Stone for your free language learning demo CD-ROM.
Yeah, what's the catch?
Excuse me?
Your ad says I can get a free demo of your language software, so what's the catch?
No catch. We're so sure Rosetta Stone is the world's fastest, easiest way to learn a new language that we'll give you a free demo.
To get your free demo from Rosetta Stone, call now.
Okay, we don't need to listen to the rest of this. Okay, just, there's so many things wrong with this, but the main thing is just... I'll let him finish up here. Okay, we're not calling. She answers the phone and says, he asks about the demo CD. And says, yeah, what's the deal with this demo CD? For right off the bat, smug as all get out. And then, you know, she's all, excuse me, sir? Yeah. What's the deal? Okay, well, you just answered your own question, a-hole. It's a demo CD, okay? So, I don't know what it is about this commercial, but I want to find this guy and punch him in the face. It's a demo CD. Why would you call and then say, what's the deal? Is it not clear what a demo CD is? So here's the great thing. In doing a little research to try to find this commercial, I found some reviews about the demo CD. And apparently, the only thing... customer reviews of the demo CD. And the best thing about it all, and the only thing that's maybe preventing me of finding this guy and actually punching him in the face, is there actually is a catch. Apparently, they'll try to downplay how crappy the demo CD is and then try to upsell you on the full-scale package. So, yeah, there's no catch because it's a demo CD, okay? You got it, buddy? Who does that? And this guy deserves a punch in the face. But then it turns out that there was an actual little bit of a catch, which then makes me want to punch myself in the face as well. But still, bad media, Rosetta Stone. This is a terrible commercial. For, first of all, making one of your characters just smug as anything, and then second, for actually having a catch when there should be no catch.
That's radio for you, though, man. There are just a lot of radio... There's a lot of radio advertising where it's this role-playing. Mm-hmm. Oh, I can't seem to find a good deal on shoes anywhere. Oh, well, you haven't been to Acme Shoe Store. Where is it? I've never heard of such a thing. They've got the greatest products and service that you can find. And that's the whole... catch with
but
radio.
I'm okay with playing stupid. It's the smugness of this guy.
I get you.
That just scrub back a little bit on your MP3 player or whatever device that you're listening to. Just listen to it again if you've ever heard it, and just soak in the smugness. And I think you'll join me in your shake of the fist at bad media.
Bad media.
Bad media. Okay, so let's move on from bad media. Let's move on to stop picking on people, perhaps, because, you know, we're probably losing half our listeners who use Rosetta Stone and love Facebook.
Yeah.
What's the deal with your podcast?
Yeah, what's the deal? And we're going to introduce a segment called The Contradictory Position. So, Mike, you want to get us started here on throwing...
My contradictory position. Somebody give me a topic. It could be a good topic. It could be something I would totally agree with or something just totally terrible. Any topic, and I will give you a completely contradictory position to whatever it is. So, like, you know, if there's anything in the news going on now, good or bad, just say, hey, what do you think of this? I'll totally disagree with you. It doesn't matter if I agree with what you're saying 100%, I have to disagree.
All right, then. I'm going to give you the topic of how awful racism is.
Racism?
Wow. Awful. Just throwing it out there.
Yeah.
Just throwing it out there.
To me, the racism is awful.
It is.
What's your
contradictory position is that racism is great. Oh, my God. It just, look, man, you're keeping everybody in check and in line. You, this could go bad.
This. And.
This should be the 1 minute thing. Oh, racism's great.
Oh, yeah. The racism a little touchy. Now, no, not a play on words. The word's touchy, but Jerry Sandusky.
This is put it on the internet podcast where you know it's all on the internet. No subject is off limits. So.
You think racism is great?
Well, let's back up here, back the semi full ones and zeros heading to Texas Center for Men, if we will. And let's just say all races at one point or another get persecuted. When people say racism, they immediately want color, and that in itself is racist. All right.
Good call.
Right.
Here we are.
And that's what Thanksgiving is all about, wiping out the Native Americans to make room for us.
He did it, ladies and gentlemen. And the director, Mike Provine.
Without racism, there would be no football on Thursdays.
Indian Killer Day is an important day in this thing. Because they would have no audience. No, that was not CW. That was the predecessor, the WB. CW is now. So you're saying if you're racist against white teenage girls, then you don't like. Right. No, not at all. Not at all. Okay. All right. Bryce, are you going to take on the contradictory position challenge, or are you going to save it for next week?
I'll pass for now. Let's keep moving.
All right. We've got a great little segment called Music That You Should Be Listening To. And what you should be listening to now, and I don't want to... I know that you probably both feel the same way as music fans. Anytime you start to try to pimp out the band that you love, it seems like you jinx them. But the band that you should be, the music that you should be listening to right now, if it's not on your MP3 player, if it's not on your CD, if you're a little bit archaic, is a band from Arizona called Kinch. K-I-N-C-H. K-I-N-C-H. Thank you. Is the band. And I would describe Kinch as if you two and Bare Naked Ladies had a love child. Now you both have seen Kinch in concert and are big fans as well. Give me a little background, Bryce.
Well, I'm seeing, according to an online resource here, their pop sound has drawn comparisons to Coldplay and The Strokes, while others have likened them to Ben Folds, The Arcade Fire, and Blur. That means they are all over the place.
They are all over the place. And a couple quotes that I've read about Kinch is every bit as radio ready as Jim Blossom's Hey Jealousy or Jimmy Eat World's The Middle. That comes from avclub.com. And another quote, to the fans of The Shins, The Flaming Lips, and Coldplay, you'll be pleasantly surprised. And that comes from In Your Speakers.
Now, do you know what the Jim Blossom's, Jimmy Eat World, and Kinch all have in common?
They're all from Arizona. How about that?
Yep.
So let's give you a little sample here of Kinch, and what we've got queued up for you today is a song called John Adams, and this is from their Collars and Sleeves EP. They have two full-length albums out and then a couple of EPs out there. So we'll give you a little sample here of Kinch, John Adams.
Thank you.
right, guys. If you like Kent, you can check out their new album, The Incandenza. That's Incandenza. It's available on their website, kentband.com. Check them out. Good stuff.
That song was about John Adams, the second president of these United
States.
Right. And it totally rocks. It's such a weird...
I love the story because the guy is related to John Adams. He's met a girl. He's been telling stories about great Uncle John Adams, and he's got to find out if they're actually true, right? Because he's got to impress the girl. So he's kind of, it's like a love letter to John Adams, if you will, saying, you know, is all this true, Uncle John? Because I'm really selling you here. So yeah, it's a fun story, and you know, they great range in that band. They go from, you know, kind of fun, lighthearted, you know, songs like that to then some more deep. Deep tunes, so
and they can really crank out a live show.
They can. I love. You know, this is the tale of the opening band, and it happened to me. My favorite band, Chicago band Local H, way back in the 90s, I saw Stone Temple Pilots, and Local H was opening for them. I walked in to the concert, and Stone Temple Pilots was my favorite band, and I walked out of that concert, and Local H was my new favorite band. These guys opened for Local H a few years back in St. Louis.
Passing the torch.
And not they're not my favorite band, but they are one of my favorite bands. Maybe even top five.
You see a band, you see the band opening for them who you've never heard of. That's happened to me three times. Clutch from Maryland. They're one of my favorite bands. Murder by Death from Bloomington, Indiana opened up for them. New favorite band. Ha Ha Tonka from Springfield, Missouri opened up for... Murdered by Death. New favorite band. It's just passing through. Not that they're all my favorite band. They're my top five favorite bands.
But, I mean, you can go from a band like Ha Ha Tonka, if anyone isn't familiar. Ha Ha Tonka is a very kind of country rock, very bluegrass sound as well. And who did you say that you saw Clutch open for?
Clutch. And they're, like, heavy.
Yeah.
Heavy.
Passing the torch. For. I mean, it's kind of like the 3 degrees to Clutch. Yeah.
Or 6 degrees to Stone Temple Pilots.
That's right.
For me, if you look at Kinch. All right, good stuff. So check them out, Kinch at kinchband.com. All right, this is always fun, even though we've never done it. I just know it's always fun. It is the secret segment, and it's a free-for-all. Each one of us has our own little secret segment, and the other two have no idea what the segment is. And we're going to just throw it out there and then get some reactions. So anybody want to take the torch here? Bryce, you have a secret segment lined up?
Sure. You know what? Just like that guy in the song John Adams was talking about how he's related to John Adams and no one believes him. No one believes me that I am related to Daniel Boone.
I thought you were related to Sarah Gilbert from Roseanne.
That too.
That was Melissa Gilbert.
That's Little House on the Prairie.
Yeah. No, I'm related to Daniel Boone, and many people like to confuse Daniel Boone for the fictional character with the ox.
Paul Bunyan.
Paul Bunyan.
Yeah. And a lot of times I'll say, yeah, I'm related to Daniel Boone. Listen, well, he's not even real.
Why do I wear this coonskin cap all the time?
Yeah.
Right.
Read your history, folks. So that's all I was just going to say. I'm Daniel Boone married a Rebecca Bryan. And Brian is my mother's maiden name. So if I went way back into my ancestry, he would be a great, I don't know how many times, uncle of mine. And that's my secret segment.
Are you
and
that works to right in famous, Travis?
John Adams. There is some famous blood in my background. Nobody believes me. Sir Isaac Newton is in there. He's in the bloodlines. So there you go.
I'm not related. I may or may not be related to actress Dorothy Provine, who is in That Darn Cat.
Wow.
That's a Disney movie.
Wow.
Buddy,
did that win? How many Oscars did that
win? And it's a mad world with all them comedians from the 50s and whatever, like Lou. Abbott Costello was in that. And yeah, there's a bunch of people in that movie. And anyway, she's really hot.
So it's
weird that, yeah, anyway. Moving right along.
Your secret segment, Mr. Provine.
Oh, I am. It's kind of lame. It could go really fast, or it could drag on into something weird. My secret segment is called Let's Talk About Your Shirt. And I didn't know what you guys were going to wear tonight. So, you know, I'm just going to pick. I was going to pick one of you and just describe your shirt in detail. And then you tell us, tell me the history of that shirt and any special memories related to it. And I'm looking at Bryce. He's wearing a Hollister shirt. It's a long sleeve shirt, gray shirt with a, what is that, seafoam green?
Yeah, pretty close. Sleeves.
You know what I bet we can do before, you know, we are on Twitter. Uh-huh. And we'll give you all of the ways to contact us. But this could be our first twit pick. Is
oh,
the
sure.
Shirt
so
that,
so
that
as
you're
Travis
about
has
here.
Taken the twit pick, Bryce, I've described your shirt. It looks a little worn. I don't know if that's the seafoam
yeah,
green
that's
color.
Yeah, that's the style.
It might have been green at one point.
That is the style.
Now, tell us the history of your shirt.
The history of my shirt. I like to buy my long sleeve shirts online.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a pretty normal body, and I don't need to go out and test a shirt first to make sure it fits.
Yeah.
I just easily fit into a lot of shirts. And I bought this one online with two others.
Are there any special memories to that shirt? Did you
absolutely. Absolutely. All kidding aside, guys, one of the proudest moments of my life, I was wearing this shirt at my graduation party.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah. When I got my bachelor's degree 14 years after high school.
And you're wearing that shirt right
and
now.
And I'm wearing that shirt right now. You know, I think about this shirt just about every time I put it on.
You could have killed a man in that shirt, but yeah, no. Yeah.
I think about that party just about every time that I put this shirt on.
What a good karma secret segment you had there.
Yeah,
that's
yeah, good stuff.
All right.
Well, mine doesn't have a whole lot of meaning like that did, so thanks for making me follow that up. But mine is it's about something that's, I would say, sweeping the nation, but it's already swept the nation, and it relates to fantasy football, to which we all play or have played at one point. And my topic is how many teams are too many teams? Now, I don't mean this at all at a swipe at you, Bryce, because I know you're in four leagues this year. But here's the thing. I typically play in two every year. And I'm a generally a pretty good fantasy football player, and I'm normally in contention. And I'd say I win every other year, but I kind of puff my chest out when I win the fantasy football league, not because it's a money league,
sure,
even though they are, and I win a little bit of money, not a lot, but a little bit of money, enough to cover my funds for the rest of the fantasy year at least. But you know, I feel hey, I just beat all these people, and I know my stuff. At what point, you know, it's like how many teams where it's just random luck that you're going to win a fantasy championship because you have six teams, you know? So What do you think? How many teams
for me,
are too many?
Two teams is too many because I take – if I have one team and then I have another team, I'm
right.
going to have to
sometimes
take pride
you're rooting
in one
against
of them.
Each other.
Yeah, I'm rooting against each other. I got this one team and, you know, I got another team. I like the idea of just one team and – pour all your heart and soul into that one team.
Well, now here's what I do with the two teams is oftentimes I'll try to draft the same guys so I don't find myself in that scenario. And I kind of though sit on the fence because even when I win a championship, I kind of feel like it's a little bit cheapened because I had a 50-50, a 1-in-2 right. chance to win the championship.
One problem I have managing four teams is not remembering which team I have a certain player on. I'll see a touchdown scored and go, yeah, that's awesome. My player just scored a touchdown. But I don't remember if it's for the team that I'm doing really well in that one particular league or if it's that one where I'm 2-6 right now and don't have a shot in the playoffs.
So it sounds like we all need to get down to one team.
Yeah.
And leave it at that. And
really?
Literally, as we speak, you're on the computer deleting one of your teams. You're like, that's it. I'm going back down to one. Can't do it anymore.
No,
all right. So... love the secret segments. Good talking points by all. And we'll move on from the secret segment to the we'll move to the pop culture expert, I would say, of the three of us. We all have our own little niche here. I'm a film professor. Bryce, obviously, is an expert in music, as you will come to find out as a fan of the Put It on the Internet podcast. And Mike is just the guru of all things pop culture. And so but sometimes he can be a little lazy. So he's going to become the lazy reviewer for us and give us the lazy review of some stuff that's coming out here.
You seem really excited, Mike.
I didn't do my homework for this.
You never do your
homework. I was just really tired this week. So, I don't know. Well, yeah, I figure I can review some stuff. I'll review, I don't know, books, TV, movies. I do watch a lot of TV and movies. And, you know, I'll just put as little insight into it as I can. Let's just forget about it. Let's just go in. I looked up the top 10 movies in the box office. Well, it would be from last week. So I'll just go from 10 to 1 in the box office ratings according to the Internet Movie Database. Moneyball was the number 10 movie in the nation last week. This movie is so money, I haven't even had a chance to see it yet, to be honest with you. So we'll move on to The Ides of March. And I heard... And I think it was you that said this is one of the movies of the
this
year.
This was my movie of the year, my film of the year, Ides of March, yes. But
the trailer just bored me, so I didn't watch it. And also, you saw The Rum Diary.
Absolutely. Good
I
stuff.
I will defer to you on this because I... quick review.
Really nice inside look at possibly the formation of the Hunter S. Thompson that we know and revere today.
Okay. Number 7. Last week in the theaters, Real Steel, the Hugh Jackman movie. Now I actually...
That's all you got to say.
No, I actually read about this movie. I heard something about 2 years ago on the Internet Movie Database, or no, slashfilm.com, the film movie blog. They were actually making a Rock'em Sock'em Robots movie. And then this thing comes out. And you know what? They have not said about this movie. Since it's been out, or since they've been promoting it, I have not heard Rock'em Sock'em Robots mentioned once.
And I'll tell you my theory on why. If you see how it was presented, it's like an action drama.
It's like Rocky.
There's almost. Right. And you put the Rock'em Sock'em in there, and then it becomes just kind of kitschy. But it's not kinchy, but kitschy.
Kinchy would be good.
Yeah, they tried, like, halfway through, I think Hugh Jackman said, this is kind of serious. I want to take this serious.
And this so is kind of serious.
You know, maybe it was written in the contract that they had to take the Rock'em Sock'em part out of it.
Yeah.
Because,
but
yeah.
This is the Rock'em Sock'em movie that they were talking about 2 years ago.
Just terrible.
Footloose was number 6.
I won't even let us justify anything.
I didn't see the original 1984. Why would I see this one?
You need to save that for a segment later in the show and move on.
All right. Well, yeah. I would just like to say that Kenny Wormald, the lead in this movie, Kenny Wormald, that has got to be the Larry Fortensky of actors. Dude, is that a good reference, Larry Fortensky? Kenny Wormald. It just doesn't sound like that guy's going to be remembered for anything in 10 years other than his name was Kenny Wormald.
And it was mentioned in the very first episode of the Put It on the Internet podcast.
That's yeah, right. Exactly.
He'll probably be more famous for that than
exactly. Footloose. In Time was number 5 in the box office.
That's looks good.
Timberlake
I haven't
movie.
Seen it yet.
In time, I will see this movie.
I
can download it illegally.
Oh,
can I say that out loud?
No, because we do not endorse downloading anything illegally and put it on the Internet podcast, unless you're downloading us illegally, in which case we fully support, because whatever you have to do to get us, you can get
Are
us.
We charging for this thing? We get some
well,
money?
Well, no, so you're downloading it for free anyway. But, I got to say that, and I always feel guilty when I say this, but I am a fan of Justin Timberlake.
I like, no, dude, that's okay. I like
his
that.
Music,
I like
not so much. His
I don't
movies,
mind the music, but
Alpha yeah. Dog is one of my favorites.
He's a funny dude.
Yeah.
All right, lazy reviewer.
He's adorable. Paranormal Activity 3 was in theaters, and it was number 4 in the box office. I liked it the first time when it was called Paranormal Activity and Paranormal Activity 2. It was my David Spade.
That was beautiful.
A Very Harold and Kumar 3D Christmas. I don't know how I haven't seen this. Seriously, it's a stoner movie. How am I too lazy to see a stoner movie?
This, you know, the only thing that we've, and we're rookies to the podcast game, so do you date them? They're timeless, so do you date them? But then now we're making box office references, so I feel we have to. But I also feel that this is a special day because it's it only comes around once every 100 years because it's 11-11-11.
Uh-huh.
So now you know the dates. But, you know, it's I think it's important to reference this when we're talking about these dates. But I also have
it's National Metal Day, by the way,
besides
Veterans Day.
I also have to say it's November 11th. Uh-huh. There's a Christmas movie out.
Yeah.
And I got hit up for the first time today by a bell ringer.
Oh, yeah, they're out. I saw them.
We'll discuss that in future episodes.
I avoid stores
episodes.
With bell rings.
Right. And there's an interesting case where a national chain actually banned bell ringers. And
I think they still do.
And there was a huge backlash. But we'll get closer to Christmas. Yeah, we'll talk about that. So, all right. Carry
number two at the box office, at least as of this recording.
11-11-11.
Tower Heist.
Wow.
And I'm not going to let them steal my money or my 2 hours
of
my life.
Is it just me, or does Tower Heist sound like a generic 8-bit Nintendo video game?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Well, you know, and I love Eddie Murphy, and I love seeing him get away from kids' movies, but I love Ben Stiller, and so I thought, well, this is going to be a great pairing. And then I saw Brett Ratner was directing, and I said, okay, that's not going to work out.
Yeah. Number one in the box office is Puss in Boots. That makes a perfect 10 for 10 of movies I didn't see at the box office last week.
And yet still gave us
thank you very much.
That nearly makes a 10 for 10 of movies I don't want to see.
We do not.
There's a couple movies in there I want
to
see.
The Put It on the Internet podcast studios is not geographically based in a large metropolitan area. Therefore, we sometimes get gypped when it comes to movies. And what blows me away is I was just complaining today that J. Edgar has not come to the area that we are in. But we do have a theater with two screens dedicated to Puss in Boots.
That's
now
right.
I know why.
So you can go see it twice.
No idea it was the number one film.
Yep.
Thanks to the lazy reviewer, now I do. Perfect.
Put it on the internet.
Put it on the internet. We just
that's
did.
That's just great.
Okay. Moving on to the top five.
Top five.
Don't have a drum roll. Lazy reviewer, that was your job, but you were too busy reviewing. That wasn't really
was that
your
supposed
job.
To be a
no,
drum
it wasn't.
Roll? Feel bad now.
It's just I figured since you were being lazy, I'd throw it on you. But top five. We'll just a little bit like the secret segment. We've everybody's got a top five something, right?
I came up with the same top five as you for one category.
We've lazy top fiver is who you should be here. Okay, so top five. Bryce, kick us off here. What do we got for top five?
I think the topic at hand is going to be the top five games in the World Series.
All right. Top five World Series games of all time, right?
Yeah, top five World Series games of all time.
Oh, are we all doing one?
We'll all do one, and then like I have another top five.
Okay, all right.
Okay.
I'll try to burn through it.
Well, I'll make it quick. Number five, I think a lot of people made a really big issue out of it, and I don't think it's worth all of the hype. Yeah, it was a pivoting moment, and it changed the momentum in the World Series. But when the ground ball went through the legs of Bill Buckner in the 86 World Series, yeah, it was a big moment. It's at number five. Kirk Gibson's blast in 1988, that's number four on my list. Number three, this is a big one. The Marlins swept the Giants in the 1997 World Series, moved on, defeated the Braves.
NLCS. You said World Series. Slap them
in the NLCS. My mistake. Okay, so the Marlins in 97 beat the Giants and the Braves to make it to the World Series. They're facing the Indians. In Game 7, with the score tied at 2, in the 11th inning, Edgar Renteria, at the young age of only 22, hits an RBI single to win it and clinch the Marlins' first World Series title in only 4 years. Of being a franchise. Number two, very recent history here, I think is pretty. It's going to show up on everyone's list, I think. David Freese's blast in Game 6 of the 2011 World Series, St. Louis Cardinals versus the Texas Rangers. Number one in my book, and the only reason why this is number one is because it was also a World Series clinching moment. Joe Carter hitting a home run against Mitch Williams in the bottom of the ninth.
Wild thing.
Yeah. Bottom of the ninth against the Phillies. And I think he was named MVP. Honorable mention, the Giants and Angels, the final game of that, the Angels and the Rally Monkey winning in seven games. Reason why it gets honorable mention for me is because I remember at the end of that game, Barry Bonds' kid cries like a little girl.
I'm going to guess that because there was a monkey involved, it's in your top five.
It is, but not for that reason.
Yeah.
Not for that reason.
Okay,
you want me to go next?
Let's hear it.
All right. These aren't the five best World Series games of all time. They're just the ones that came to my mind.
All right.
The one that were in my memory banks. My memory bank, I'm stuttering. When I was thinking about this, I didn't go to some comprehensive list online and then try to weed them out. But here's my top five. And it's a top seven. Thanks, because I can't whittle them down.
It doesn't have
to be
a top five.
Game six of the 93 World Series. You already covered it.
Joe Carter's
walk-off home run. That was pretty badass. Game seven of the 1994 World Series when Pedro Martinez threw that no-hitter against the Chicago White Sox. The only second no-hitter in World Series history. If that World Series would have happened,
yes, that's
that
right.
Might have
I was
occurred.
Just going to say that. There was no 94 World Series.
The Expos didn't win the World Series that year over the White Sox. So, thanks, baseball strike. Okay, back to reality. Game five of the 2002 World Series, Angels at Giants. Kenny Lofton's seventh-inning triple that nearly killed three-year-old Darren Baker. Remember that? Got a kid running to home plate, same time as JT Snow. JT Snow snaps him up. That's a nice memory. Throwing a three-year-old out there in the middle of a tense baseball game. Let's see. You mentioned the 86 World Series, the Buckner game. You know what else was big about that game? Michael Sergio. He's the guy that parachuted into Shea Stadium in the middle of the game. He got arrested for that.
I forgot
he was wearing
all about
he's, that. He's wearing a flag that said, "Let's go Mets."
Yeah, that's right.
He's an actor. And anyway, he was arrested. He spent a short time in prison because he wouldn't give up the name of the pilot that flew him over Shea Stadium.
Good for him.
And is he on IMDb?
He might be, yeah. I think so. But he had to get a pardon from Senator Alphonse D'Amato, the senator from New York, to get out of prison. But he didn't really do anything as far as an actor. He won a Daytime Emmy for directing a Ringling Brothers 1996 TV circus special. And he won an Emmy for creating The Wizard of Oz on Ice.
I feel like you're cheapening my Emmy by telling me the things he's done.
I'm just saying he wasn't a great actor.
All right.
Game five of the 2008 World Series. Phillies, Rays. It started on Monday, October 27th, and it finished on Wednesday.
Oh, yeah. Was it a rain delay?
It was a rain out. It was a rain delay. Yeah. They had to pick it up 2 days later in the sixth inning, and the Phillies won the World Series that night. Played like three innings of baseball. I don't even remember that. I remember that series. I remember watching it. But I didn't remember that game was the clincher.
I remember the Rays' really remarkable run to the World Series, but I really don't remember much about the series itself.
Yeah. Game six of the 2011 World Series, as much as I hate to.
Is number one?
No.
Oh.
We got one more after that. As much as it killed me to admit, though, that was pretty badass.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're one strike away from winning your first World Series, Texas Rangers, and I'm totally rooting for the Rangers. I've liked the Rangers since I lived down south with my wife, and it killed me. But it was badass. Mm-hmm. You got to admit.
Well,
it was one strike away.
Twice.
Yeah,
there were
twice.
One strike
it
away
happened
twice
the next
in that,
inning.
Twice right. in that game.
That's incredible. That's all I got to say about that. Oh, game four of the 2004 World Series. Red Sox.
Yeah, you know, the Red Sox.
Over the Cardinals.
Yeah, they.
If for
they
nothing
make
else.
History, they eliminate their.
And the way they got there was incredible. They was
that
they
was the World Series, the ALCS that year.
Oh
was
yeah,
the World
yeah,
Series.
No,
yeah. But the World Series, the Red Sox won it in four, and it was cool, if for nothing else than to see it on Lost to illustrate the point of how long they've been in captivity.
Right.
And they showed this dude the game, and they tied it all into the mythology of that series.
If you've made it into the Lost mythology,
yeah,
then you've made
pretty
it big
badass.
Time. Okay, well. My top five World Series, I'll start with my honorable mention, and I'm going to go with Game 6 of the 93 series, Carter off of Mitch Williams to win the series. Just amazing. You know, gotta love that. My number five is Game 7 of the 2001 World Series. Luis Gonzalez, former Cub there for you, Mike, beating the Yankees in the bottom of the ninth.
Oh, yeah, that's right. There was another comeback.
Yes.
Yeah, of recent expansion team.
There was
yeah,
a blown save before that by Byun Hyung Kim, right? Was he the one that blew the save to get him to that point?
Boy, I don't remember that.
Yeah.
I just remember that Gonzalez got the hit off now, the all-time save leader, to win the game there. Number four was the 1991 Game 7, Twins beating the Braves in the 10th inning to win 1-0. Many people forget that Black Jack Morris, remember that? Remember him?
Yeah.
The Sox pitched 10 innings shutout ball there in a World
McDowell?
Series game. Yeah.
No, McDowell. Jack Morris.
Jack that's McDowell. Black Jack McDowell. He was a professional wrestler. Black Jack Morris, White Sox ace in the early 90s, pitched 10 innings of shutout ball in a World Series game, which is just unheard of when you think of it. Number three was the Buckner ball, of course. But one of the things that strikes me is that moment, talking about the one strike away, was Boston was one strike away at that moment from winning before the Buckner ball. Number two, this is now the three of us are all, we're all in our mid-30s, and all of our games are from our era. And I think that's fair. And I think that the our fathers probably would have a completely different list.
Sure.
And
we're talking about what we remember.
And our children will have a completely different list as well. I know there were amazing World Series games before us, but we weren't there. We didn't live it. And I think you have to live it to make your greatest games
list. I agree.
So that's kind of, we're a little bit biased here. But number two, 1988, game one. It was the Gibson home run.
Yeah. Okay.
But it was game one. Yeah. But a few things about that was the Dodgers were the underdog at that point to the A's. And they went on to win the series 4-1. But just, that was the only at-bat that Kirk Gibson had that entire World Series.
Really?
Yes.
That's great.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, his only at-bat. And
he was hurt.
And he, yeah.
He had two broken knees.
He was, he couldn't walk barely. And, they said, we need a home run here. We're down by two. And he hit a walk-off home run.
And it better be a home run because you can't run so
exactly.
Well.
That's it. Yeah. And sadly, he hit a foul ball that was almost a home run right before the home run. So he had to kind of try to trot around before the hit. So he was barely standing when he hit the home run. And it's in my mind, the best call that I've ever lived in baseball. And real quick, we'll just take a quick listen before we get to number one.
Gibson swings and a fly ball to deep right field. This is going to be a home run. Unbelievable. A home run for Gibson. And the Dodgers have won the game 5-4. I don't believe what I just saw.
You know, the great thing about that game, and maybe that's why I have it so highly ranked, was I wasn't supposed to be even watching it. I was supposed to be on a train from Chicago to Quincy, and I forgot my luggage at my mom's house, and so we had to go back, and so I missed the train, and so I got to stay and watch game one. So when that happened,
I don't even remember that game. I remember game three of the World Series the next year in San Francisco. I think
the 89. Three.
89 yeah. World Series.
Oh, the
earthquake.
Yeah,
earthquake.
Absolutely.
Game.
Yeah.
And I missed that one.
I was getting fitted for a homecoming tux.
Oh.
At the
wow.
Time.
Wow. Maybe it was a sign. Who was your homecoming date that that year? We don't want to
remember.
That. Okay. And of course, my number one is this year, game six. I'm a tad biased because I was there. And so the emotion of actually being there. Tops any time anything you can experience actually watching it, and I was just excited to be at a World Series game, and to now reflect back and realize that I was potentially at what I was well I was at the game that many people are calling the greatest World Series game of all time. All right, I'll take it.
Yeah,
it was
yeah.
No, it was amazing.
You were at the right place.
I turned to the guy I was sitting next to. In the seventh inning, and I said, this is a spring training game because that game was so sloppy up to that point. I mean, routine balls being dropped. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was awful.
To speak anything about the bullpen situation.
Yeah, yeah. At one point, Kyle Loesch was in there bunting.
It was either the best game of all time or the worst pitched game of all time.
You needed the worst part to get to the
right.
best part, to set up the drama. And
right.
I think a lot of people forget about that. So,
yeah, right.
Very interesting and very similar lists that we all have. But one thing is for sure that since the mid-'80s, we've obviously been treated to some hella World Series, World Series. So there you go. All right. Okay, I want to know something about you guys in our probably going to go on in infamy as our most famous segment.
We're not doing the rest of the top fives?
Oh, that's right. You had another list.
I have a top five list.
You had your,
I could burn through it really quick.
You had your other list.
Maybe.
All right, let's hear your other list.
This is the top five movies of 1983. Yeah.
Is that the Garbage Pail Kids? Is it on that list?
No, it's not on the list. It's hard. It's really hard to make a top five list. I suggested a top five list. Bryce was like, why make it a top five list? Why don't you make it a top seven list, top nine list? Whatever feels right.
No,
you know?
Top five list is complete without a top seven.
Right, right. But I kind of wanted to cap it, but then when I started to build a top five list, I couldn't do it. It was impossible. So basically, I think I'm going to just try to buzz through all the movies of 1983 and then shoehorn in a top five list at the end. So I do have a top five. I just got to get through a lot of stuff to get through there, because there's a lot of memorable movies in 83. Let me give you an example of what we're up against in 1983. Okay. Mr. Mom came out that year. Not a great movie, but okay. Flashdance came out that year. The Best Picture winners, Terms of Endearment, The Big Chill, and frickin' Yentl came out that year. Three movies I have not seen and never will. But like, check this out though. Easy Money came out in 1983 with Rodney Dangerfield. Great movie, but not a good, you know, not a top five movie. The Right Stuff came out. That's a great movie.
Ed Harris.
Eddie and the Cruisers came out.
On the Dark Side?
Yes.
Would that have been?
I have that
yes.
tape around here somewhere in the Put It on the Internet
yeah.
Studios, by the way. So perhaps the Beaver Brown Band can
yeah.
work their way into next week's episode.
Psycho 2 came out. Not a great movie,
Electric
but it
Boogaloo.
Was a, you know, it had been a long time since Psycho, the original horror slasher flick, came out. And so Psycho 2 came out that
I
year.
Would argue that Psycho 2, Electric Boogaloo, there's just no need for it.
Right, exactly, and it's not that good of a movie. Octopussy
oh,
came out in 1983.
Bond.
It may be best known as the James Bond movie that had the flying car, but it was not a flying car as I was looking on YouTube. It's just a little bitty car that they was like hiding in a horse trailer with a false horse ass sticking out of the back that like flipped up, and then he escaped, and then he like ran out of gas, so he pulled up to a gas station in his little car plane, and the wings retracted up. But there was two Bond movies that came out that year. Never Say Never Again with Sean Connery came out after that. And he had played Bond before Roger Moore, who's a poor James Bond, in mm-hmm. my opinion. But the thing about this Sean Connery, Never Say Never Again, it was an independent Bond film. They
wow.
All the Bond films are basically made by the same people, and they
right.
and they made a separate one.
You have to wonder how that even happened, because the rights to James
right.
Bond.
Right, yeah, exactly. So who
would
knows
never
how
happen today.
In. Yeah,
it would have been like some knockoff. You know, I'm.
But we're talking Connery,
Rames
Sean
Frond.
Connery.
Yeah,
he was in the independent, non like official.
Well, I can see Connery saying, "I'm going to be the next James Bond if I've got to be independent about it."
Also, that came out in '83, The Man with Two Brains with Steve Martin,
oh.
Jaws 3D, and I didn't see this listed, but I'm pretty sure that the Friday the 13th. 3D movie came out that year too. I could be wrong about that, but I feel like a bunch
of
3D movies.
The second
came out.
Wave of the 3D craze.
Yeah.
The first wave was back in the 50s.
Yeah.
Let's hope.
And now
that
we're
this
in the
third,
midst of the.
Let's hope that this third generation is dying down soon.
Porky's 2 the next day.
Now that should have been in 3D.
This is the one that had the zombie scene where they're trying to scare what's his name. You know the main character. I forgot his name. With the kid. Anyway, try to scare him. That's the one where the zombie comes running up and says,
boogie, 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 boogie.
That's the only thing I remember about that movie, to be honest with you.
Staying
Alive came out in 83.
Ooh,
the sequel.
Yes. Which should have been made.
It was a terrible movie. I saw it in the theater.
Well.
With my mom. Oh, my God.
No.
It was
It's terrible now when you look back at it, but the whole series was great.
There was a lot of bad movies in the 80s.
What are you going to do now? I'm going to strut. I mean, come on.
I don't know
even though that was the end of Saturday.
This is a very popular movie, but Something Wicked This Way Comes is a Ray Bradbury novel. It's a really scary movie, man. It came out in 83. The King of Comedy, the only Jerry Lewis movie I like, came out. Robert De Niro was in it. It was like, remember that Seinfeld episode where Kramer found the old Merv Griffin set in the garbage?
Yes.
It's kind of like that. He was like putting on his own talk show, and he kidnapped Jerry Lewis, who was like the Johnny Carson in the movie.
You know, there's a certain appreciation to that because now there's the everything of comedy out.
Mm-hmm.
There's the kings, the queens, the Latin kings, which is also a gang, I think.
Oh, yeah. So
well, that's not good. It's like now you've got comedy gangs running the streets.
Also out in 83, DC Cab starring Adam. Adam Baldwin was in that, and he looks exactly he looks better today than he did in 1983. He's on Chuck right now.
You know,
he has not aged. He's not related to the other Baldwins.
A lot of people look better now. Yeah. Doing that really, really.
Not Gary Busey, who is also in DC Cab.
No,
not
Gary Busey.
Time is not on his side.
Buzzing through these, Monty Python's Meaning of Life came out in 83. The Outsiders, Lone Wolf McQuade, probably the only Chuck Norris movie that I like. He drove a pickup truck out of a grave in that movie. Scarface, huge movie.
Oh, yeah.
I hate that movie. I don't like it.
Is that one of the most iconic movie posters?
Yes.
In history?
Yeah, and it's an iconic movie, but I think it's not a great movie. I'm sorry, I'm not a hip-hop artist. I don't think it's that great.
Right, no, that's okay.
Yeah. That'll come back in our segment, Is It Racist?
Yes.
Moving on, Strange Brew came out in 83.
Ooh, yeah.
Classic, no doubt about it.
There are so many movies that you're mentioning.
Yeah, I'm moving on. I'm trying to get through it. Superman 3 with Richard Pryor came out in 83. It's referenced in Office Space, so, you know, it's classic.
Yes.
Sudden Impact, the movie that gave us the go ahead, make my day.
Mm-hmm.
War Games, Ferris Bueller almost destroys the planet. BMX Bandits, starring Nicole Kidman.
Now, there's only one BMX movie in my eyes.
Yep.
Rad. Which 86.
Yeah.
I'm getting to the top five here. Twilight Zone, the movie, came out that year.
Yeah.
That killed a guy. That movie killed a guy with a helicopter. Cujo came out that movie, that year. Cujo.
I'm going to tell you, Cujo strikes fear
in all of our hearts. It ruined me for dogs
for a long time. Absolutely.
It was scary as hell.
When that boy swallowed his tongue,
forget
about it.
Yeah. Christmas Story came out in 83.
Really?
One of my favorite movies of all time. I have so many scenes of that movie memorized.
It's French.
Brainstorm, remember that movie? Mm-hmm. It was like a virtual reality movie with Christopher Walken, where they put this thing on their head and they get in this world of virtual reality.
Do you think that Christopher Walken just never left the set or the script of Brainstorm, and that's kind of
where
he's living now in for the rest of his days?
Yeah. Also out that year, another Christopher Walken movie. The Dead Zone.
Ooh, yeah.
The movie that gave us Ed Glosser, Trivial Psychic. Remember that? Saturday Night Live?
Yes.
You're going to spill your water on your pants.
Yes.
Oh, okay. That brings me to my top five.
Oh, and we made it to the top five.
My fifth favorite movie of 1983.
Fifth favorite movie.
Bad Boys. Bad Boys with Sean Penn. Remember that movie?
Never seen it.
Took place in Joliet. In the prison?
Oh, no.
Isai Morales, remember him? He was La Bamba. He was Richie Valens' brother in La Bamba.
Yes.
He was in that. Ali Sheedy was in that movie.
Oh, Ali Sheedy.
Alan Listen. Ruck. Cameron.
Oh, Cameron.
But he got killed early in the movie. And a young Clancy Brown. Remember Clancy Brown? He's the guard in Shawshank.
Oh, yes.
He was a prisoner in this movie. He's young and very blonde. He played the antagonist of the movie.
So it took 18 years or so, but it's come full circle.
Yeah. It taught me that Joliet is a rough place, Bad Boys did. It taught me how to rape at a 9-year-old. It taught a 9-year-old boy what rape was. It taught me how to make a bomb out of a boombox.
Oh, yes.
Clancy Brown.
Can't do that anymore.
Clancy Brown had his side of his head blown off.
By a boombox.
By a boombox
at
this guy.
Yes.
And you know what was playing on the radio?
when it fizzled out and then exploded into his ear? Little River Band.
Oh, was he reminiscing?
No, it was Night Owls.
Yeah, I figured the cat being up to problem. No.
But it also taught me how to use a shiv.
It
taught me how to use a shiv. It taught me how to beat somebody upside the head with a laundry bag full of sodas.
You know, I've known you for quite a while, so I wonder about the life that you live.
I haven't put any of these practices into use yet. The Sklar brothers were referencing the Coke cans in a bag the other day.
I was like, oh, yes, right.
Yeah. But
and me being a perfectionist that I am, I have to look up musical references. I was wrong. You dropped a bomb on me in 1982.
Oh,
barely made it. Yeah. All right.
But sometimes I feel bad about what I let my kid watch. He's 13.
And now he knows how to blow people up with boomboxes.
I look back at Bad Boys when I was 9. And I saw that. Oh, man. Yeah. It's not so bad what he's watching.
The movies that I watched when I was a young boy, I was watching Chuck Norris blow people's heads off. And so, you know, it's all relative.
So Bad Boys, number 5. Okay. My number 4 favorite movie of 1983, Blue Thunder with Roy Scheider. He was a cop, an old L.A. cop, flying around this high-tech prototype helicopter around L.A., It was like a movie you saw on HBO like 1,000 times.
Yeah.
It was always on.
Right.
Daniel Stern, he's one of the bad guys from Home Alone. He was his young rookie partner. And the captain in that movie was Sergeant Hulka, the drill instructor from Stripes.
Yes. I feel like Daniel Stern is a fake Judge Reinhold.
Or maybe Judge Reinhold is a fake Daniel Stern.
No, I think more people will know who Judge Reinhold is.
Yeah, it was one of my favorite movies. They're flying jets through L.A. and accidentally blowing up buildings trying to shoot this helicopter down. It was pretty cool as a 9-year-old. All right, moving on. My third favorite movie of that year, Vacation, National Lampoon's Vacation. Classic.
Oh, of course.
Yes.
Yeah. No, not much to say about these top three. Number 2 favorite movie that year, Trading Places.
Well, they speak for themselves.
With Eddie Murphy.
Right.
They speak for themselves.
Seeing Eddie Murphy now coming back, even though it's a crappy movie.
Good Eddie Murphy.
Moved on from Shrek.
And number 1, any guesses?
83. God, I have no idea. All the stuff that
you got to beat
dropped,
out Vacation.
You have some heavy knowledge on us from 1983.
No.
That would totally be mine. No. There's no doubt.
Return of the Jedi.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There you
Jeez.
Go. All it was a bunch of Muppets, but I loved it.
You know, it's so much better. I teach a script writing class, and we were just discussing the realism, the verisimilitude that you get out of the puppets and the puppeteers, good puppeteers, versus all the digital stuff
now
that looks so fake.
Yeah.
And, you know, something made in 1983, Return of the Jedi, looked so much better than the most recent 3 Star Wars films. So,
they still hold up.
Absolutely. They still hold up. Still hold up. All right. Thanks for taking us down memory lane there, Mike. 1983, love it. Forgot all those movies. So good. So good. Some I have not seen either. I'm guilty of.
I didn't see all those movies either. I'm too lazy.
Well, you are the lazy reviewer, so you can't watch too much. I mean, or else then you can start actually giving us legitimate reviews. So, all right. Now we can move on to the, now everyone's been waiting. Drum rolls are happening all over the world. The What the Hell, Dude. What the hell, dude? So, you know, I want to know. What the hell, dude? So let's, Bryce?
Mine's abbreviated. It's pretty short.
Wait, explain this real quick.
Oh, okay.
I think it'll be self-explanatory.
Oh, okay, okay,
soon
okay.
As it
I got it.
Yeah, I'll get right to it. I have never seen Rocky Horror Picture Show.
What the hell, dude?
I've never seen Rocky Horror Picture Show.
What the hell, dudes?
You know what?
I've seen parts
of it. You know what else? I've never seen Porky's.
What the hell, dude?
I've never seen any of the Harry Potter movies, Pirates of the Caribbean, or Lord of the Rings movies. I've also never seen, and I always combine
Pirates
these
of
two
Caribbean
together.
Sucks, though.
I always combine these two together because they're both acronyms. I've never seen PCU, and I've never seen UHF.
That needs a change. I just DVR'd PCU last night, so you need to come over.
All right.
Last night.
Okay, Mike?
PCU is directed by Ellis from Die Hard, the guy that got shot, the cokehead.
There you go. There you go. And has a very young Jeremy Piven in it.
Yes.
At his finest.
Yes.
Not that he's not always at his finest, but Something about the actors when they're younger that are just, there's a free spirit about them or something. I don't know what it is, but they have the, especially the guys like Piven that are just kind of a little bit crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So when you catch them in their younger days when they're just coming up, they just really play it to the hilt, and it's great. And he's classic in PCU. All right, Mike, what's your what the hell, dude?
I don't really have anything. I hate jalapenos. I'll never eat them as long as I live.
What
That's not
the real. Hell?
No, dude, seriously, I will never, as long as I live, drink coffee.
I can eat jalapenos
what
like
the hell,
I hate
dude.
Coffee. I hate coffee. I will as long I as I could live to be 100, which I won't. But I won't drink coffee.
I can't even go further than saying that I can't start my day without coffee. I cannot start my day without the smell of coffee permeating throughout my house.
No.
I have my coffee maker on a timer every morning, and it needs to go off a half hour before I wake up. So I wake up with the whiff of coffee.
I will say that some coffee does smell good, but I just don't like the taste of it. Black coffee,
right.
Hate the smell and the taste of it. And I can't spell the word there. Is that weird? That's their problem. No, T-H-I-E-R. T-H-E-I-R? Is that right?
T-H-E-Y apostrophe
R-E? No, not that there. I can spell that one.
You're doing the ownership.
Yeah, I can't spell there. I can spell T-H-E-R-E.
Well, I got to see it, but I think it's E-I-R. But it's typically I before E.
What's their problem?
I am a really good speller, but I have words
that's
that
one
just
of mine.
Stop me. Mm-hmm. Sheriff,
okay. You got a problem with the R's
I
and
never
F's.
Know which one gets the two R's and which one gets the two F's. And it's really bad because I teach. And so when I put stuff on the board and I hit one of those words, I don't know. And so I go into this like really nervous, fast scribble. So they won't know if I misspelled it because my scribbling's so bad.
Yeah, right.
That's how I try to cover up for that. But theirs pretty common, though. That's...
I
the sheriff, you don't see.
Use a lot.
And sadly, I go back
I still
to
can't spell it.
She's the Sheriff. I try to think back to that show, and I'm like, what did that title page look like? What did the text look like on that? But I never get it. I still, right now, I think it's two R's and one F, but I think that's wrong.
Here's the problem with there. T-H-I-E-R, right?
Yeah.
What's the rule? I before E except after C. That word totally negates that rule. It's I before E, except there's no C in that. So it's T.
Well, they break it a lot. No, but I think there is actually I-E-R. So that's not breaking the rule.
Yeah.
But I before E, except after C, only applies in certain most
can't
situations. But there's so many different things. Can't spell. What the hell, dude? That is kind of weird. Obscure words, fine. But there is pretty common. But,
yeah.
All right. Well, my what the hell, dude, I guess would be to kind of go on with what Bryce said is, and it shames me to say this as a film professor, but I've never seen Animal House.
You know
what? What the hell?
You go, what the hell, dude? Me
what
too.
The hell?
It's weird. We've got what the hell's in pairs because jalapeno, I can't go near jalapeno. I'd melt. I would literally melt, so
the hell?
I can't do spicy stuff.
You guys
so
are weak.
That movie was almost filmed at Mizzou. And
almost.
Then the administrator
did you know
was
that?
Like,
no. I didn't know that.
No. They said, take your act somewhere else. They filmed it at Oregon State instead.
Okay, so it's time for the uncomfortable minute.
8 o'clock. I got to watch.
We're just gonna break things down here for a minute, and I'm going to kick us off because it's 11-11-11, and there's a very uncomfortable topic to talk about. Okay, so this Penn State scandal's going on, and I just wanted to point out that Jerry Sandusky is, of course, the despicable human being that's being accused of everything, sexual abuse. He is an author. Did you know that he was an author?
Yes.
And did you know that that his book is called Touched? Because apparently he had like a rough life growing up or whatever. So Touched by Jerry Sandusky.
So why not pass the torch on to other innocent victims?
Exactly. So really? Touched by Jerry Sandusky. And like the cover of the book is him like pointing.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
You know who I feel bad for? The poor people of Sandusky, Ohio.
Yes.
Also feel bad for the guy, a sports anchor on the East Coast.
For the Ravens.
His name is Jerry Sandusky. Yeah. But his name, thanks to his mom, is spelled with a G.
That doesn't help.
Well, just a little. It helps just a little, but
my uncomfortable minute is over.
Yeah, I'm done with that guy.
Yeah,
I'm done with Penn State.
I'm done with Penn State.
Yeah, they're done.
All right, it's time for plugs. What do you want plugs? We're wrapping up here. We're getting close to the end of episode one of the Put It on the Internet podcast, and it's time to plug some stuff. So what do you want to plug? And that's not a Jerry Sandusky joke.
That's funny. I'm going to plug another podcast.
Oh, all right.
My former coworker and my still current coworker in the company, Mike Fay and Tyler Tomlinson have a podcast.
Yes.
Mike T. It's a sports podcast on CLNS Radio Network. You can find it on iTunes if you go to iTunes and just do a search there, or you can go to Google and just Google MICTEA. And it's a pretty good show. They've been doing it for, a couple months now, and just all things sports, and they know their stuff.
They do.
Yeah. So if you go to their homepage, you can find all the links to find these guys on Facebook and Twitter also. So listen to Mike T, my homie, Mike Fay, mm-hmm. and Tyler Tomlinson.
Tyler Thompson.
Mike's up in South Bend, Indiana, and Tyler's in this area, but they get together every Sunday and do a live podcast. Live podcast. And it's because if you can call in, they're always looking for callers. So so do your Googling.
There you go, sports fans.
Find some Mike T.
Mike T.
And make sure that's Mike spelled M-I-C.
M-I-C, like microphone.
Live on the mic.
And T is T-E-A, like the drink.
Like a cool drink.
Yeah,
Mike T. Check it out.
Bryce, what do you want to plug?
Yeah, I'm going to plug a friend of mine that, funny, I've never met her, but we've got a lot in common. She does a lot of blogging. Mike's checked her page out before. Her name is Heather Brown. She runs a website called FuelFriends.com. Fuel Friends is a reference to a Pearl Jam song, but great indie music blogger. Always traveling. Check it out. The greatest indie bands that are out there and giving great reviews on them. Girl's lucky too, because she's paid her dues enough to the point where she gets to meet a lot of these musicians too, and really cool girl. I've chatted with her several times, and I agree with it, just about everything she's got to say. So fuelfriends.com, check it out.
It's good.
Very nice.
It's good.
That's good. My plug is going to go out to a guy, a football player, who is about to have a very important record broken. And he's somebody that you'd never guess. Cam Newton is not my plug, but we're only halfway through the season, and he already has 7 rushing touchdowns. So there's a pretty good chance that he is going to break the single-season rushing touchdown record by a quarterback. Follow that? Single-season rushing touchdowns by a quarterback record. My plug goes out to the holder of that record, of which you'll never guess, but I will give you both a shot just for the hell of it. Let's hear a guess. And one is obviously Mike Vick, and it is not right. I think he actually does hold the single season rushing record for the penal league that he played in when he played football in prison. But he does not hold the NFL record for single season rushing back quarterback.
Did Vince Young ever have a good enough year to run a bunch in?
Vince Young did not. I think Vince Young actually is where, at this point in the season, we're at about the midway point of the season, 11-11-11, where 7 touchdowns is where Cam Newton's at now. So Vince Young is right there.
Wasn't Duante. Duante.
No, it wasn't Duante Culpepper. And this also goes back to the Is It Racist format, because all of you are naming
black quarterbacks.
And it is not a black quarterback.
African-American, please.
All right. Whatever. It wasn't an Asian quarterback. It wasn't a
running.
It was a slow white quarterback by the name of Steve Grogan.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Jim McMahon.
Steve Grogan ran for 12 touchdowns. His third year in the league, I believe. It was like 76 or 78. Anyway, Steve Grogan holds, not Steve Young, not Steve DeBerg.
Christy Young.
But Steve Grogan, right? You lovers of Tecmo Bowl out there, Steve Grogan had about a 6 speed on Tecmo. He was probably the worst player on the Tecmo Super Bowl game, and yet he holds the all-time single-season rushing. You guys are both online trying to prove me wrong, but It's true. And I couldn't believe it and when I heard it. So, listen, Steve Grogan, you get a plug on the first ever Put It on the Internet podcast for being the single season touchdown rushing record by a quarterback. Yeah. It's a long mouthful of a record, but he did it. So pretty cool. And I think it actually he ran for 500 yards that year. So it's actually he wasn't always slow, Steve Grogan. He at one point was somewhat athletic, Steve Grogan. And now he's slow, Steve
Grogan. Check him out.
So check him out.
Find some old videotapes of him and put it on the internet.
YouTube him. Find some clips. Put him on the internet. Nothing better than seeing. I want to see all 12 Steve Grogan touchdowns from that season on the internet.
Got to have a montage.
That's right. See the sports montage. Any closing thoughts here, guys, on the episode one of the Put It on the Internet podcast?
It's been fun, that's for sure.
Well, longer than I thought.
Yeah. It did go longer.
they hung in there. Thanks.
If you started by mowing your lawn in mid-November, because you know that we got leaves to rake and things of that nature now, so there's still yard work to be done to throw the
leaves
Put It
to
on
blow
the Internet
around with a lawnmower.
Blow it around, rake them up, blow them around again. This podcast could be so good that you do actually want to just blow them to one
you
side.
You could just drive
to
St. Louis and listen to the whole thing because it's 90 minutes.
This is a perfect trip to St. Louis.
I know
right
anybody going to St. Louis anytime soon.
That's right. Yeah. So, yeah, hope you enjoyed episode one of Put It on the Internet. And you can catch us on the internet, of course. You can find us on the web at putitontheinternet.net.
Catchy.
Yeah, it is kind of catchy, you think. You can follow us on Twitter. We'll twit pick Bryce's shirt, his Hollister shirt that he graduated in. We are at internet.net on Twitter. And you can email us at internet.net@gmail.com. So those are the three ways to get in touch.
Or that'll be it, the address that you had mentioned earlier. Put it on theinternet.com. The link will be there to email us. I'm sure we'll put a Twitter link there.
All of our information. Put it on theinternet.com.
One handy location.
That's right. Find us. Put it on theinternet.com. Great to hang out with you guys. We'll do it again real soon. I'm not sure even how you would classify this. It's kind of just a man's man. But I think some ladies might actually.
Just a couple of dudes sitting around.
This is going in the wrong direction quick here in the end here. But, yeah, a couple guys sitting around. Talking about stuff, having a few beers, putting it on the internet.
Getting some stuff that's on our mind off our chest.
Dudes getting some stuff off their chest.
1983, well represented here. 9-year-old Mike Provine in the house tonight. So I am the professor alongside of the producer and the director. Thanks for spending a trip to St. Louis with us.
Peace out.
Whatever else, an hour and a half trip you just had. So we'll catch you next week on the next episode of Put It on the Internet.